You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns for the latest draft news, photos, videos, and more from the team by liking them on Facebook at Cleveland Browns. Follow them on Twitter at Browns and on Instagram at Official Browns. Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci, bringing in Kevin Jones, staff writer for ClevelandBrowns.com. It's time to do a little mock drafting, gentlemen.
Mockery.
A little mockery. The mockers, as you like to say, Notorious. Like the mockers. It'll be our last iteration. We might throw one more out there next week, I would say, probably the day before the draft. I don't know if it'll change much between now and then, but
I hope it doesn't.
We will see what goes on there. And Kevin, first of all, welcome to the show, and everybody check out all his great stuff at ClevelandBrowns.com. Kevin Jones, what's up, bro?
Thank the Lord the draft is next week.
Oh, my goodness. Tell me about it. I'm ready.
I don't remember a sporting thing where it's just been so drawn out. It's tough.
And it's reached a point to me where more people are talking about how they're sick of the fact that the draft isn't here yet than people are actually talking about the draft anymore.
Which would go counter to what the whole NFL idea of pushing this thing a little later, at least they were suspected of this.
I hope they see it.
That you know, by pushing it later, it was going to extend the conversation. It would be a good thing, but you're right. I think it's turning into some people monotony, and I think you're chasing tails now. You're kind of running in circles a little bit with the Nets.
I think they're going to change it back next year because the backlash is that heavy.
I think so. Do you get the sense from talking to people in the league?
The people I've spoken to in the league have that impression, but that's why you heard the commissioner last week say, well, number one, it might go to 4 days. Okay, so say it goes back to its previous time, but it'll be extended by a day, another night of coverage, whatever that night is. If it starts on a Wednesday, ends on a Saturday, or starts on a Thursday, ends on a Sunday. The other part of the conversation is that it could be in two locations. This is going to be the big wild card in all this, that it could start in New York but finish in, well, maybe Cleveland.
Cleveland, bring it on.
That would be great.
Why not? And that's what the NHL has done, and I think it's not a bad model. All right, how do we do this? Want to let age, youngest,
why don't we do
that? Age meaning youngest, go first? And that would be you? No. you, Nathan? No, it would be our great friend here, Kevin Jones. Kevin, what do you got for a mock?
I'm sold on Clowney going number one. I think when he stopped working out, I think either the Texans told him, you're our guy, or Atlanta said, we're trading up no matter what. We're getting you whatever it takes. So I think he is locked in at one. After that, this is where I differ from most mock drafts. I have Sammy Watkins going two.
I can see it.
I think
I've heard some people. Why do you like that?
We were discussing this off air. Yeah. How does Greg Robertson add wins to your team? They already have Jake Long there, left tackle. You know, their offensive line isn't amazing, but I think adding someone like Sammy Watkins, if you think he's Julio Jones, if you think he's gonna be a top flight number one receiver, you gotta give Sam Bradford that chance. I know they took Tavon Austin last year too, but you can't have enough weapons in this league. So Watkins two. Khalil Mack, three. You look at the Jaguars' defense. Posluszny is their guy, and outside of that, they really lack some star power. They're hoping he can maybe be a DeMarcus Ware all over the place. Number four, I'm sticking with this, Johnny Football. What do we hear in the building? We hear winning now. We want wins. Who in this draft equals wins more than Johnny Football? I think he will be their guy. I think he'll be number four for them. He'll be high up on their board because they value winning so much. And I know Pettine said quarterbacks may not play right away. He may sit out the first half of the season. I'm sold on Johnny Football at four.
All right, so let's finish out yours. Who do you have going to the Browns at 26?
Keeping Odell Beckham from my last draft. Hopefully he's there. I think receiver is more important than corner. 35, actually, I kind of differ here too. Kyle Van Noy from BYU.
I like him a lot.
You look at the depth at middle linebacker. If you have an injury to Robertson or an injury to Dansby, the drop-off there is kind of more significant than corner. So
he's Chad Greenway, I think. That's who I think he projects to.
Very good in coverage. He can fill in an outside linebacker spot, too. He can play all over the place. 71, Jalen Watkins, corner from Florida, and 83, guard Dakota Dozier from Furman.
All right. I will go as the next youngest. So my top three, Houston Texans, Jadeveon Clowney to the Houston Texans. St. Louis Rams will have offensive tackle Greg Robinson. For no other reason than that has been pretty a strong link. It fits what Jeff Fisher likes to do, control the game, running the football. They made a lot of investments in the wide receiver position. I could see Watkins. To me, really, the top three are going to come from Clowney, Robinson, Mack, or Watkins. The order is kind of unimportant to me. I would prefer Watkins be on the board for the Browns at four because I think it opens them up to something. I'm going to go with the notion that there are no trades allowed in our mock draft. Mm-hmm. If I'm the Browns at this point, it gets to me at number four after going Clowney, Robinson, Mack. I'm going to trade down. I'd love to move to six. I would love to move to 9, 10, anywhere in the first round, pick up some extra picks, and have an opportunity to get somebody. Now, if there's a quarterback that the Browns love, like you have the conviction, if Ray Farmer feels about Johnny Manziel the way that you do, Kevin, take him at four. That's what I believe. But right now, I'm going to have the Browns taking Sammy Watkins. They don't want to put that kind of pressure on a quarterback. We've heard they don't need a tackle. So you take the most dynamic playmaker in the draft to pair him with Josh Gordon. Now, I like Mike Evans just as much. And if they took Mike Evans there, I'd be fine with it. It doesn't make a difference to me. Okay. But to me, my ideal for the way that I think this draft plays out, again, is to move down a little bit, get your quarterback there, and then be able to get the wide receiver at 35 because the wide receivers are so, so deep. I'm going to fast forward now to 26. Now, and if this played out and we've asked Daniel Jeremiah, we've asked Rappaport, they both believe he will be at 26, Teddy Bridgewater. So if you were to tell me, the guy that you know how I feel about Teddy Bridgewater, I'd take him at four. I have no problem with that. But if I could come my way with Watkins at four, Bridgewater at 26, I'd be absolutely thrilled.
Let me chime in real quick. I don't think he's getting past 20 with the Cardinals. Carson Palmer is up there in age. Who is their backup plan?
I have the Cardinals taking Derek Carr at 20.
Okay.
Because Bruce Arians throws the ball down the field. That's more his style of passing. So that's who I have Derek Carr going there. I have put the quarterbacks out there. I have Manziel to the Raiders just because I think that Al Davis will somehow influence that. I have Blake Bortles going to the Vikings at 8, Derek Carr to the Cardinals at 20, and then the Browns taking Bridgewater at 26. At 35, I have a guy who could – people are kind of torn on where he's going to end up going, but I have Bradley Roby there after that off-the-field incident. There is some thought that he could slide out of the first round. I do think one of those corners, Roby, Verrett, Fuller, Dennard, or Gilbert – is going to make it out of the first round. And if they do, that's who the Browns would take at 35. 71, Chris Borland had a little bit of a shoulder issue that has kind of dropped him from being somebody that they talked about in the first round. A little bit farther down would fit that inside linebacker you talked about, 83, guard Gabe Jackson from Mississippi State, and then carrying it one pick further, 102, Charles Sims, running back from West Virginia. And I would be – that's a moonwalk draft to me. I'd be moonwalking down Luke Rosa Boulevard.
That I want to pay. I'd want to pay.
You wouldn't have to pay. I will do that gladly. Yes, for free.
All right, my turn. My mock draft version 3.0. Going with the conventional wisdom of Jadeveon Clowney as the top overall pick to the Texans. Going, as you did, with Greg Robinson to the Rams with the second pick. And I think keeping in mind that, you know, a couple of things are going on in St. Louis. There's some pressure there on Les Snead, their general manager, to try to get some things right. There was thought that he had some heat on him even just in this offseason, entering this offseason. And generally, when guys find themselves in that position, you could say, well, then you do a radical thing that'll help your team. He may, I think, be inclined to do the safer thing. And I think that's really what Greg Robinson represents is a safety sort of pick versus anything dramatic. And, you know, we can sit here and say, how often have left tackles made for their football teams great success? And generally, they're good if you have other things that are in place. That's our feeling. If you look at the Browns with Joe Thomas. Going to pick number three, Jacksonville, I'm giving them a quarterback, and I'm giving them Blake Bortles. I had originally had Bortles at the top of the draft to the Texans. I think this is a spot where Jacksonville would address QB, and I think he's the right fit there. I mean, you could say geographically too, but I think this is where he's going to end up going. I still have him as my top quarterback in this draft.
Did you see the article about how he wowed them in his meetings and all the reports on Jacksonville? They love him.
I was aware of that too, and that maybe slightly influenced what I was doing, but it was more influenced on I took him out of the top spot, but I wanted to give him to somebody still before. My hope would be that he'd be there for the Browns, but I'm of the mind thinking that Jacksonville takes him there. Yes.
A quick prediction. If he goes to Jacksonville, that will be a bust. I can't see him working out there. I don't think he has the star power to carry that team. There'll be a lot of pressure. If Bortles goes to Jacksonville, I don't think it'll end well.
I think he's a developmental guy. Yeah, you got Chad Henne there. He could develop. If Justin Blackmon comes back,
I think he's the sound. I think he's got the best overall skill set. Really, among the quarterbacks in this draft, I don't know that he's a – I mean, you say he would be a bust, but again, is he playing this year? Does he have to play this year? And I don't think he necessarily does. With any of these quarterbacks, by the way, I don't feel that. But I think Bortles has got the longest. I think when we're talking about this draft several years from now, he'll be the one quarterback who will be considered the best of this class. And then the Browns at four, I'm sticking with Derek Carr. I think they're going to get – this is the guy I think they want, and this is the place where they're going to get him because they can't – in this scenario, we're not trading. I still see a trade as the likelihood that we brought up with Daniel Jeremiah, moving down a few spots to get some extra picks and then to pick up a Derek Carr then. But I think Carr is very much on this team's radar. I think he represents the things that the head coach, Mike Pettine, wants to see in a quarterback. I don't think that's Johnny Manziel. I think Johnny Manziel – would be the worst possible choice for this scheme. He'll be exciting from a media standpoint. He is flash. He is not substance, and it won't work out
he's
for him
wins.
In the National Football League.
I think
he wins at the collegiate level. So is, guess what? Colt McCoy won a lot at Texas. He set historic marks of success. Where is Colt? Let's go around this building and find him. Oh, no, he's not here anymore.
He didn't have the arm strength. He didn't have the intangibles. He didn't have the field general
stuff
that Johnny has.
But you just said you started with wins. You didn't start with physical. You said intangibles. That's that. When the best thing we could say is that he's a winner and he's got intangibles.
I don't think that's the best
I heard
thing
that about Tim Tebow, too. I heard that talk, and these guys don't have what translates to – I don't think he has translatable NFL talent.
This is what I'll say about Johnny Manziel, and I'll come to your defense right here on Johnny Manziel. From the pocket, Johnny Manziel completed a higher percentage of his passes and had a higher yards per attempt than Teddy Bridgewater, than my beloved Theodore. Johnny Manziel, I think, has the strongest arm of any quarterback in this class. Obviously, the things he can do as an improviser are unparalleled in this league. To me, the question with Johnny Manziel
is it strong because of heaves downfield, or is it strong on those on-the-line darts that I've seen? I haven't seen him throw that many beautiful, pretty straight-up dart darts.
I'll show you a couple.
I've seen more from Bortles and Carr.
Up the sideline, he can throw between the safety and the corner and a cover two and zip it right in there. He throws a good seam route as well that he zips
right in there.
I
think it's those physical elements. Eventually, things will work against him that he can't change, which is height and the fact that his default settings make him move. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Let me finish. To me, the question with Johnny Manziel comes down to whether or not he can get to the point as a quarterback where he is able to win with his mind pre- and post-snap and therefore not rely solely on physical gifts. I think right now a lot of the things that he did at Texas A&M, especially against Alabama, were rely solely on physical gifts. There were times when he knew what his read was, he would drop back, hit the top of his drop, step into it, and throw a rope and do it. There are other times where he would drop back, look right at his read, who was wide open, not throw him the ball, drift back, and then try to make some crazy play. If you believe that Johnny Manziel's off-the-field stuff is not an issue, if you believe that he has the work ethic because he has the need to be great, and that would supersede all the other stuff, you can believe in that. And if he can get mentally to where he needs to be, he could be, as Ian Rappaport said, the kind of guy that's your quarterback for 10 years. He is the kind of guy physically who has all the gifts to do that. To me, it's mental with Johnny Manziel. If you put Teddy Bridgewater's head on Johnny Manziel's body, given even his diminutive size pre-snap and post-snap, you have the best quarterback in this draft.
That supports my position wholeheartedly because you just said the head of the sounder thinker on the body of the guy who does these other things. And this is the problem. Football coaches micromanage by nature. It's their deal. They want decisions.
I don't think he was coached that way in college.
I'm going to tell you what coaches in the NFL do. Coaches in the NFL want to control as much as they can control, and you don't control Johnny if you're using Johnny the way Johnny worked it out at Texas A&M, and that was his way. He ran his offense, his style, and if you're trying to get that kind of success, all the wins that Kevin talks about and all that success he had at Texas A&M, you got to let him be that guy. NFL coaches don't let guys be that guy. They want them to be their guy.
He can be molded their way. He can be molded, and Kyle Shanahan is the perfect guy.
I got to believe. What makes you think that, though? You haven't seen him be molded. He hasn't been. What makes you think he can be molded?
I think that he's better than Derek Carr. I think he'll have a success.
But molded. But Carr can be molded. Any mortals can be molded.
I think the situation.
This isn't a mold. Bridgewater's molding. He's the unmoldable of all of them.
When his image took a hit, Johnny Manziel, that really brought him back down to earth. I'm a normal guy. You know, the star.
He says the right things, Kevin.
I don't know. I heard the same things you're hearing, but you got to see it right now. What I see on tape is if he's going to work out and be a guy, you got to let him be who he is.
But to me, it's a bigger question of how was he coached in college? Was he held accountable for not making that 10-yard pass? Or as he said, Johnny, if they told him as coaches, Johnny, do what you do.
And I'm going to say they did it right by him.
In college, but in the NFL, it won't work that way.
It won't work that way because the whole dynamic is different. And I don't think for a second Mike Pettine takes a guy like that and says, Johnny, you just be Johnny, and doesn't think about all the impact it would have on running the type of team, defense first, ball control.
I think he's smart, though.
Offense.
I think he's smart.
Anyway, he's very smart. He's really bright. I'm not questioning his intelligence.
Whatever quarterback comes in, it's still going to be a run-first offense. So they're not going to let Johnny be Johnny.
On the run.
And if they don't let Johnny be Johnny, then he's not the Johnny value.
Not right away. They're going to let him make mistakes.
Right, well, let me go back to your mock draft.
I want to finish this up. But this
Theodore Bridgewater for president.
It's a good discussion. Where are we? Oh, I want to say this for the record. Johnny Manziel, I got him going to Minnesota. I have him in the top 10 at 8.
I don't see Carr.
I just see Carr in a Browns uniform. Carr in a Browns uniform.
I don't see
him. I'm putting him there because I'm not mocking a trade out. I want to clarify that. But I'm also saying that if you can't make the trade and you want that the guy you want, and I'm using that mindset for me making the pick, not
so
Ray Farmer.
It is your belief, though, that
he's the right guy for the Browns.
The conviction that they would have about a quarterback
I don't,
would be
I have,
about Derek
remember,
Carr.
I have Bortles off the board. I'm going to qualify that. I would take Bortles if I felt he was available. I'm seeing Bortles gone before the Browns pick. And then let me finish. 26, Kelvin Benjamin, wide receiver for Florida State. I think that's a nice spot there to get a receiver. So the flow is nice. Quarterback to receiver. And then at 35, I'm still of the mindset to think a running back. And I think Carlos Hyde could fit in that spot right there. And then Marcus Roberson, the cornerback from Florida,
I like
big
him.
Guy, 6 foot, 191. It's pick 71. Here's the other thing about this team, this Browns team.
So you've got they don't Carr want
small,
at four.
They don't want small corners.
And Roby at 35?
No.
Not Roby, Hyde.
Yeah.
I don't think they go running back that early.
I think running is going to be important to this football team, and I don't think they can get away
with not having
a good back to complement who
I think
who
you
they
get
feel
in the third or fourth round.
Ben Tate is a solid back. I think they got to add to that, you know, mold. They got to beef it up. This is going to be a team that needs to have multiple. You look at the New York Jets right now. Right, with what they have with Chris Johnson and Ivory.
I just think we can get that.
And
much
they
want
to load.
I agree with Nathan.
Oh, whatever. I'm just
Who do you
saying,
have at 26? I missed that. Who did you have at 26?
At 26, I had a receiver, Kelvin Benjamin.
Benjamin, okay.
I think
so
he's going to be a higher
corner third.
I think he's going to go early than most people think. Like,
who's Benjamin?
Yeah, maybe Pittsburgh, somewhere high up. I think his athletic
I think Kelvin Benjamin goes to Baltimore at 17.
Now I have Jimmy Ward, strong safety for Baltimore. I think they have a need there, and I think that's
a good
spot for him. We're not going to go through all our 32. Sammy. Sammy Watkins, just to say five at Oakland for Oakland.
So this would be interesting.
And Atlanta gets
so let's reiterate, and we'll ask people to call in after this. 216-578-0850. Reiterate your top three picks for the Cleveland Browns. We'll start with Kevin. We'll call that KJ.
I have Johnny Manziel at 4. I have Odell Beckham at 26 and Kyle Van Noy, linebacker from BYU, at 35.
All right. My top three are Watkins, Bridgewater, and Roby. And you have?
And I go Carr, Benjamin, and Hyde.
So what do you like? Which one of those scenarios, since they are three very different scenarios, which one of those scenarios excites you the most? Which one scares you the most? Let us know when we return to wrap things up here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.